Blog Talk Radio.
Check, one, two.
Welcome to Flavors. Sit down. Have a cup of flavor.
All right, I know I need to get an intro for the Artist Roundtable, but I don't have one at this point. If somebody wants to make me one, you're more than welcome, you know, to do so and send it to me at radio@flavornews.com. But welcome to everybody to the Artist Roundtable. I have been doing this every other Monday. Actually, I've only done two. This is my third show with the Artist Roundtable, but I had been requested to do a show later in the day so that other people that are not able to attend the morning or early afternoon show, you know, could get involved in an evening show. So what I've decided to do is switch it up. I'm going to do one every Monday. This one is 5:30 Pacific Standard Time today, but next week is going to be 12:30 Pacific Standard Time. And then we'll just alternate between 5:30 and 12:30. And, you know, with the with the time schedules of the different areas and all of that. So, anyway, I'm hoping that this will reach more people to allow them to come to the table and put down their concerns around being an indie artist or being a service provider to the indie artists, or even if you're a fan and there are things that you would like to see done by the artist to be able to support them better, whatever it is. Feel free to call in at 347-857-1189. We want to hear from you. I forgot to open up the chat room, so the chat room is available right now. So feel free to also register if you'd like and to be able to chat with, you know, myself and whoever comes into the chat room. And, you know, we'll just wait for some callers. The first show that we did was on August 23rd, and it was an absolutely amazing show. You know, when I decided to do this, it was kind of based off of different sidebar conversations that I've had with a variety of artists from across the United States, pretty much. And I thought, you know, why not take these conversations to the air where, you know, other people can participate, share their thoughts, give their input, and maybe we can come up with a resolve on how we can come together and you know, do some things differently, give feedback, you know, be honest and be respectful at the same time. It was great. We had, you know, Detroit represented by John, Chameleon called in from Switzerland, Jace from Seattle, Chandrine from Canada, and my mentor, TC, from here in Seattle called in. It was absolutely a great conversation. And then the following week, it was amazing too. Kind of a different twist. We had Elizabeth LaRue from Artist Management Team out of Florida call in, and then we had Josh from Lynx Records call in, and then you know, Kirkland from Kryptonium Photos, John, you know, a musician, recording artist out of Detroit, Lady Blue. She's an amazing, I call her a storyteller, out of Pennsylvania. And Chandrine was in the chat room, and, you know, Jace again from Black Stacks had called in. It was another great conversation. So I open up the floor to anyone out there who just wants to put something on the table. You can just start out by calling and talking with me, and then hopefully more people will call in. That's fine. But in the meantime, you know, why don't I scroll down my list here and pick something to play for you from an indie artist, of course. This is one of my favorite local artists. I love her sound. I love what she's doing. And this is Tiffany Wilson with On Top of the Building.
Let's
love to see your face. Will I even know what to do? First thing that comes to mind, loving you like crazy. My baby, how I felt when you were gone is crazy.
Tiffany Wilson from right here in the Pacific Northwest. Again, the call-in number is 347-857-1189 if you want to call in and start this conversation out. I know that Sandrine is going to be calling in and talking about some of her, you know, concerns and things that she likes to share. I have to say that, you know, she's one of the artists that really, really puts in a lot of work in doing research and educating herself and helping. She doesn't hoard that information. She shares it with anybody who's in her network, and I have much respect and appreciation for her. You know, one of the things that, you know, I've been putting out there is and some of the stuff that's been talked about on previous artist roundtables, what does it take to even, you know, be signed by a record label or to be represented by a manager who honestly can help you step your game up. And, you know, another thing is, you know, what does it take to really, really build a street team, to brand yourself, to, you know, promote yourself? Whose art is worth, you know, spreading the word for? How do you know whether your talent is good or not? There's just so many things that we can honestly talk about here and share, you know, together, you know, to help maybe make some changes, you know, amongst ourselves online to those within our local area. One of the questions I put up today on Facebook was, you know, the thoughts around, you know, the local DJs that service the showcases to servicing the club scene. You know, what are the thoughts around them playing local music and helping support the artists within their own community in, you know, being acknowledged and recognized for good talent, you know, right there in their own hometown? I think that DJs could really, really play a very instrumental role for those that are recording artists, you know, in getting the word out. Of course, you know, artists' dream is to get their tracks played on, you know, mainstream radio, you know, college radio, nonprofit radio, and now it's growing as far as the interest is when it comes to, you know, the online radio scene. The nice thing about what we're doing here on online radio is we have the ability to reach, you know, clear across the globe. We're not just centralized to our own area. Our listenership is great. You know, the listeners that I have for Flava News Radio is, you know, goes over to France, London, Germany, you know, and I'm connected to artists in Africa, Sri Lanka, you know, it's amazing, you know, how far the internet can take us. And so, you know, one of the things that I'm trying to do, especially for the artists here in the Pacific Northwest where I'm located, is to try to create some avenues that I can, you know, use my connections and to help share the audio artists, whether it be spoken word or a variety of musical genres, with, you know, locations outside of the Seattle, Tacoma area. So, you know, I've agreed to do a show that's called Be More Pacific with a radio station out of Baltimore. Just still working out the kinks on that. I didn't anticipate that it was going to take so long, but I did do a test show, and it was very, very well received. It's got one of the top listenerships of all the shows that I've done, and I'll be honest, you know, most of the shows that I do representing the Pacific Northwest is where I get my top listenership from. And so, you know, again, for those of you that want to call in and start, you know, out a conversation with me, the number is 347-857-1189. Otherwise, I am going to go to a spoken word track. This is done by an amazing spoken word artist. I believe he's out of South Carolina, but he's on the East Coast. And he is, I believe he's still in charge of and head of Black Poetry Cafe. But if not, he is the founder of it and, you know, really, really got that group going. And this is a piece by Mark Goggins, and it's called The Dumb Down.
You know what? I'm so tired of turning on the TV or the radio and seeing and hearing the same old coonery and buffoonery 24-7. Just the same old garbage, same old nonsense, you know what I mean? So, you know I had to respond to it, right? It goes something like this. Corporate America's the new slave master, deciding who gets paid and what gets played faster. And our youth are the targets, the zombies, the slaves, dumbed down through the TV and radio airwaves. They send a satellite signal down to shoot you and scatter your brain matter to destroy your future, filling you with violence from the time you're a toddler, programming you to be the part of black or black slaughter, dumbing you down to make you unproductive, feeding you ignorance to make you self-destructive. Then they get the rap artists to dumb it all down to the point where anybody can be a rapper now. Just turn on the TV and watch these clowns, like Real Chance of Love and Meet the Browns, or like Tiny and Toy and Flavor Flav, portraying modern-day minstrel shows and slaves. And they think they got it made just because they can rock some Cartier shades, flashing the flyest fashions for days, getting paid to put our people in mental graves. What a shame. The things we do for fortune and fame, the shows we watch just to be entertained, and then we'll watch it with our children, which I think is so lame. For money, some of us will sell out our mamas just so we can be on TV on some reality show drama. And ain't nothing real about it, you just adding to the confusion, helping to feed our children from the table of illusion. Hip-hop or the Twin Towers, I don't know which fell faster. All I know is people are still dying from this hip-hop disaster. And if the poets dumb it down like some of these rappers and sell out to the aims of these modern-day masters, then maybe we'll go gold or perhaps even platinum. And all of a sudden, spoken word will be what's happening. Then we'll be the new school fools getting airplay, dumbing it down for the youth on the radio airwaves. So we gotta be careful in our desire to blow. that we don't become a part of this minstrel show. Cause we'll never be hot on the Hollywood scene unless we dumb it all down for the corporate mainstream. Cause intelligence and true lyricism ain't selling. You gotta act all ignorant and be cussing and yelling. And to flood the people's melon with a whole bunch of foolishness. And I hope I never see the day where poetry's doing this. We're one of the last free forms of expression. And we need to look at what's happening to hip-hop as a lesson. Cause the day they turned hip-hop to rap, artists sold their souls to be a part of that. And for them it was easy, it was simple, it was nothing. But that's how it is when you lack character substance. And now lyrical consciousness can hardly be found. Cause it's all drowned by this nigga bitch gangster shit now. So now corporate America's the new slave master, deciding who gets paid and what gets played faster, dumbing us down through the TV and radio airwaves. And our youth are the targets to be zombies and slaves.
All right, that was The Dumb Down by Mark Goggins out of South Carolina. I do have two callers on the line, so let me bring them in. Sin, this is, you're on the air. Sorry about that.
No, hi, hi, hi.
Hi, welcome. How I'm so glad you came.
Yeah, me too, actually. I wasn't sure I would be here tonight, but it turns out that I'm here. So how are you doing?
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. I'm doing well, and I can't wait to start up this conversation because you've been sharing some really, really valuable things online, and I really appreciate that. And I think that is something that we should share with the listeners. But let me bring in the other caller right quick. Okay, caller from the 206.
Hey.
391, you're on the air with Sandrine and Lady Flava.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. Who's this?
This is a top six artist out of 206 representing Memphis, Tennessee.
Okay.
Yeah, how you doing?
Okay, very good. So this is Guyton, correct?
Correct. How do you know?
I'm like, okay, I know this name. I know this name. Okay. Well, welcome to the show. We are on the line with another amazing writer, artist out of Canada, Sandrine. So welcome to the show. Is there anything that you would like to put on the table? Now, you say your name, Toxic?
Uh-huh, Toxic, yeah.
Okay.
Well, this is my first time checking out the show.
Okay.
And I was just calling in to listen and see if I can give any kind of insight on any topics that you may be discussing at the current time.
Okay. So I don't know whether you saw my posting today on Facebook that talked about DJs playing local artists in the clubs and at showcases. So
okay.
What would your thoughts be around that, Toxic?
Well, one thing I noticed about here in Seattle is that they don't have a underground radio station for local artists to get exposure. Down in Memphis, they have a station, Hot 107, who plays a lot of underground artists. But for some reason, it's not too popular here in Seattle. And, I think the main reason why is because it's really not, I guess, not the DJs or the artists, but more so the people, People not making enough noise to get their favorite underground artists, exposed on that level to where they can be heard and be seen on a national level,
Okay, so I understand what you're saying in regards to that. But if the people, as you're saying, Toxic, are unaware of the artists in their own community, how do they find out about them? Because there's some absolutely amazing artists that are right here in the 206, 253, 425, that I never hear anybody talk about, but they send me their music, and I'm like, oh, my God, you are absolutely amazing. I want to tell the world about you. And so if the community is unaware of artists, then how do they make themselves known?
Well, it has a lot to do with the artists themselves, how much time they spend promoting themselves online, how much time they spend out in the streets networking, going out to different little night spots and meeting people, because the only way that you can really an artist can be heard is if they're out here putting in their own work right now. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
A lot of artists, I guess some artists expect everything to just happen overnight, but, you know, this day and time, I mean, nothing's going to happen if you're sitting on your bottom, you know. You really have to get out here and grind. One thing that I do, I make sure or I try to get out to these promoters' events and shake a hand and make a friend and be seen. And while I'm out there, I'm also networking, letting them know about, you know, my music site, www.memphisrap.com/TAWKSICC, so they can go check me out and hopefully, like, after that, like, they spread the word, because every time I meet someone on Facebook or in public, I always try to encourage them to spread the word about my music, because I know that, you know, I produce good music, and people just want to hear good music, and if an artist is not really using his artistic side verbally, then, I mean, it's really not too much to be interested in, you know?
Right. So, Sundering, I want you to step in here on this conversation, but I just wanted to check. There's a caller from the 203 area code. I don't know if you are wanting to just listen or not. You're wanting to come on the line, then click 1, and I'll bring you on the line, the area code 203. So anyway, Sundering, what do you have to say to Toxic in regards to what he was saying?
I agree with him on most of the things he said, but at the same time, I tend to say that we have to be very careful about the way we promote ourselves too, and not to be too pushy, because it turns off people, to be honest. We have to be willing to say, I will help you first, or show that we are willing to know them first, and then we will get them interested. For example, I'm going to tell you what I did this weekend. I was on Saturday, I was actually at a book signing with a group of writers, one of them that I knew before, that had met, that I interviewed, and she invited me to come and check out the book signing. So I came, and the first thing I did, instead of saying, oh, you know, I'm a writer, blah, 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 I write books, you know, my book will be released on Friday, I asked them what they did before, you know, I looked at the cover, I looked at the book, and I asked them questions, and I said, well, you know, I'm a freelance journalist, so I'm willing to, you know, book you for an interview if you're interested, and I provide reviews. So we talked about their books first, about what they did first, and then I plugged in my book, and I plugged in the fact that I had a book launch on Friday, and so on and so forth, so it got them interested. The reason why I do that is because a lot of people think that, you know, writers or artists, first of all, aren't social, because they're always working, and they only see the tip of the iceberg in terms of work and the finished product. And we have to be really careful about the way we approach people with our art. I see it as a former teacher. I know that you have to start from something that people know. Then you talk about things that people may not know, because they have a lot of misconceptions. So you have to nip the misconceptions in the bud by starting with something they know. But I totally agree with you on the fact that you have to do your work, you have to do your homework, and you have to be offline and online promoting your work. It's like an ongoing work, and all the people who are, as you said, expecting things to happen overnight are the ones who are not going to last.
Exactly. I agree. And then you also too, you know, an artist has to have you have to be positive, you know. You can't if you haven't sold like 500,000 copies or even 1,000 copies or even 10,000 copies, like, there's no need for a puffed up attitude, because you still have to make friends. And if you like if you're arrogant and negative, I mean, how can anyone like respect you or even accept you or even want to book you as an artist, you know?
Yes. I agree. Well, and you know, selling 10,000 copies of a CD or a book is not a guarantee that you're a big star. So people are under the impression that because they sell thousands of copies, it makes them bestsellers. You know, it makes them bestsellers, but that's only a title. As you said, if they're arrogant, no one is going to, you know, really pay attention to them in the long run. So what I agree with you on is the fact that, you know, most artists do not see the big picture. They do not think about the long term. They just want to see results right here, right now. And when they share their drama and all their everyday, like, little problems, negativity on Facebook or Twitter, they don't realize that in the long run, people are going to be turned off and not going to pay attention to them. So I totally mm-hmm. agree with you. Yeah.
I agree with... Oh, I'm sorry. No. Go ahead. Perfect.
I just wanted to say that if there are any artists, singers, or producers, or photographers, or anyone that's like looking to work with the artist, you know what I'm saying? I'm pretty cool. I'm pretty versatile when it comes to working with anybody. You know what I'm saying? I try to make it work for the both of us. So if y'all out there, you know, y'all can hit me up, and we can definitely, man, get some business going musically.
So why don't you go ahead and put website or public contact info out there, Toxic.
Yeah, I can be reached on Facebook under my name, Toxic. You can type that in, or you can type in my email, BIGMEMPH901@yahoo.com, and find me on Facebook. You can listen to my music on www.memphisrap.com/TAWKSICC. And you can also check out my music and a couple of the videos on my music page on Memphis Rap.
Okay. We have another caller, so let me bring the next caller in to join us.
Okay.
Okay, a caller from the 203. I see you raised your hand and wanted to join the conversation.
Yes, thank you. I was listening, and I was like, let me see if I can say a couple of words because I was really enjoying what they were talking about and understanding what they were saying.
So who is this?
This is Lady Adams.
Lady Adams. Okay.
Hi. Very nice to have you.
Thank you.
Where are you actually located?
In Connecticut, Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Oh, you're in Connecticut. Okay. Yes. Okay. So why don't you introduce yourself and tell everybody about who you are and what you do?
Okay. My name is Lady Adams. I am a indie artist out of the Bridgeport, Connecticut / New York area. I do have a single out that I am promoting. I just started back in November, but this is a dream that has re-entered my heart. I come from a background of music. A lot of gospel, Grammy Award-winning artists are in my family, but I'm like doing this like nobody knew me, or you would be surprised that I even had, you know, people in my life like that. So it's like I'm in the water, you know, with cold feet. I'm doing it really by myself, but I'm doing it, so.
Yeah.
So what type of music do you consider your genre?
I'm really neo-soul, and I say that because the energy, the positive vibe that comes from neo-soul, R&B, I'm very smooth. I have a very, very smooth voice. The interpersonalness that R&B and neo-soul have with its music when it connects it to its audience. So I like those two genres. I try and, you know, vibe off of the energy that a lot of artists like Chaka Khan, Big Billie Holiday, I love Josephine Baker. But then, you know, new artists like India Ari, Chrisette Michelle, Asbarel the Spalding, you know, I love music like that. So, you know, just it's the flavor that it brings, the interpersonalness that it brings to connect, you know, them with their fans.
Well, and the reason I just wanted you to share with everybody, I mean, I've heard your sound, and I think that you are amazing, and I appreciate you sharing, you know, your little clip where you sang on the show and was able to share
you.
The video. It was beautiful. So I just wanted you to share, you know, a bit about yourself. So do you have some feedback of what you heard Sundrine and Toxic share?
Yes. One thing, you know, when it comes to an indie artist, when they get out there, the people that they surround themselves with
yes.
may not know what they're doing. And I'm speaking
yes.
from experience because the person that's with me, we are both new at it. And she took me on, you know, just because she has connections, but she also has managed, but not in the music industry. So she took me on. So we're both learning it. But I have asked, because I'm doing contributing an article, I have asked different people, you know, how do you go from indie to mainstream? And just like you ask 100 people, how do you look in a dress? You get 100 different answers. It's the same way. There is no right answer to getting to going mainstream. I've talked to somebody that says, you need a hit. I've talked to producers that say, you need a big-time producer.
Yes.
I've talked to people that say, you need to spend a lot of money. I've talked to some people who say, you need to be at the right place at the right time. But nobody has really like a handbook of how to get into the industry or really that'll a blueprint of this is what really works every time you do it, because it really is different for everybody. I remember the days where it was you needed a demo. You needed a 3-song demo, a headshot, a bio. You shipped
mm-hmm.
it in the mail and you put it on a it sat on an A&R desk. You don't dare talk that now. You like you need an online website. You need your own website versus a Reverb website. You need to be online. You need to utilize all the online. And it has transcended and changed so much. So it's really hard to, when that person comes to you and they say, how do you get into the music industry? Because what I have learned when I give advice, a lot of people are really indirectly saying, take my music and make me famous. They really
yeah.
are trying to learn
mm-hmm.
how to get in the music industry. And I
yeah.
finally say that to people. I say, you know what? You don't want to learn. You want me to take your music and ship it to, you know, Clive Davis or somebody like that. And there you are opening for Alicia Keys. And I wish I had that power. I do, because that's basically a lot of people. That's what they are asking.
Mm.
Well, I know that it's frustrating. You know, and I agree with you, Lady Adams, that there are different ways of going about, you know, getting yourself out there. And a lot of it, you know, I mean, even just like getting a regular job, it has a lot to do with who you know versus, you know, necessarily your skills. And one of the things that Chandrine was talking about today is, you know, for an indie artist, a lot of it has to do with you branding yourself. It is not even necessarily around your talent sometimes.
Yeah.
It's more so about branding yourself and go ahead and speak on that, Sandrine.
Oh, I'm sorry. Look, you know, I was observing people like Justin Bieber. What's her name? The country singer. Like, she absolutely can't sing. Oh,
Taylor Swift.
What's her name? Yes, her. Thanks. Well, you know what? You know what? These people have no talent. They absolutely have no talent, but they have been turned into money-making machines. They have been turned into marketing
yeah.
stars. And that's what people do not understand, and most independent artists do not understand, is that if you want to get into mainstream music, you will have to make sacrifices that will make you hate yourself in the end. Being an independent artist is attached to a lot of stigma. But if you are passionate about what you do on an everyday basis, and it comes with frustrations and sometimes taking huge detours, and as you said, having a job or doing something that forces you to stop for a while, then starting again, if you are one of stay true to who you are and be successful in many different ways, you will not choose to be a mainstream artist. Because the reality about being a mainstream artist, as April Sims would say, is that you have to sell at least 10,000 copies of your CD. And why would you go to a label when you have been able to sell 10,000 copies of your CD on your own or with an agent or whatever? Why would you go to a mainstream to become a mainstream artist when you can actually sell the 10,000 copies yourself? So there are different ways, of course, to reach your target audience, to reach your goals. But at the same time, you have to be careful about the sacrifices you are ready to make, and knowing that the sacrifices will make you regret things in the end. It really depends what you want to achieve. So I always say that you have to be really careful about the big picture. Being a mainstream artist doesn't make you successful. It just makes you someone who makes a lot of money if you are surrounded, as you said, by the right people. But independent artists can make it without being a mainstream artist. And that's what people have to understand. It's just about educating the audiences as well. It's our mission, because I am an independent artist as well. I'm a writer, I'm a spoken word artist, I do so many things on the side. And I've learned that it doesn't matter who you are. What matters is the way you brand yourself, the way you market yourself. And good branding, a good marketer is someone who will be able to sell a dirty t-shirt, as April Sins always say. So it doesn't matter who you are. It's your marketing technique and the way you work with it, and if you are smart and work efficiently. And if you have to take detours and take 10 or 15 years, if that's what you have to do, then you will have to do it. But in the end, the sacrifices you made will be sacrifices you made for your own passion, knowing that if you hadn't done them, you would regret it. So,
yep.
And I'm done with my spiel.
Well, and I think that's valuable information, Sen, that you're sharing, because I know a lot of times for artists, you know, the goal and dream is to go mainstream. And, you know, there are quite a few indie artists out there that appear to be mainstream, but they're mm-hmm. still independent. And, you know, I think that artists fail to recognize that. I was having a conversation with Miles Anthony from Righteous Music Media out in New York about his artist, Darian. And, you know, Darian's doing some absolutely amazing things. I mean, he opened for Mary J. Blige in Aruba. He just, you know, performed at the Budweiser Superfest. He's doing some really, really exciting things. But the thing that Miles was saying, that, you know, he wants to stay independent. He doesn't want, you know, this to turn into something bigger. It's more important for him to have control, you know, of what's going on for himself and with his artists than to sign it over to somebody else, where you kind of lose control. You know, the more, when you go with the mainstream artists, there's a whole bunch of people that are in your pockets. You don't necessarily have the control. And one of the things that I think about, you know, was the story that I read last week about, you know, Bob Marley losing the rights to his music. Like,
mm-hmm.
how can Bob Marley, who's an icon in the reggae community across the world, not have ownership of his music? And I do believe that came down to a lack of education on his part. You know, not copyrighting the music, you know, under his name. And, you know, now Island Records, you know, owns that. And his family does not get the royalties off of that music.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You know, to, like, here in Seattle, you know, we have a place called Ezell's Chicken. And, you know, it started out as this one location, you know, not too far from my community, to, you know, branching out to, you know, to other locations. And, you know, taking on partners and a board of directors, to the board of directors fired Ezell's. You know, so it's like, okay, you know, how do you fire the person who created,
mm-hmm.
you know, the chicken and the recipe and everything? So, just, you know, I say this all the time, not all money's good money. You know, what may seem like a better deal may not necessarily be a better deal, especially when you lose a piece of yourself or you lose
mm-hmm.
ownership to your art. You know, I have a friend who was signed with a publisher to get his book, you know, published. And so the agreement was that he had to write 3 books under this publisher. Well, the first one was a great success. You know, you could go into Borders and Barnes & Noble and everything and buy his book, but then all of a sudden the publisher was dictating
yep.
to him how to write.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, and it was like, you know, totally took away his you know, his creativity and stuff. So, you know, I think that's one thing to also keep in mind when
mm-hmm.
it comes to, you know, what you want to do and how you want to do it. you know, Lady Adams and Toxic, you know, it is very important to educate yourself, you know, on all aspects when you want to step out there and make a name and leave a mark and make money from your art, you know, to protect yourself, you know.
And
so I definitely, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, sorry.
So,
hello?
So anyway, yes, So, Toxic and Lady Scribe. Lady Adams. What do you think about, you know, that? Is that your goal to go mainstream, or, I mean, what is your ultimate goal of getting your music out there?
Well, my goal is to go mainstream, just because of there is an audience out there. But not to end up with the label. If I can do what the label just has the financial backing. They have the marketers. And that's what I constantly tell people who promote. I had a friend up at 4 o'clock, and she was promoting all of these artists, you know, big name people. And she put a question. She says, you know, I'm about to fill my iPod up with some new music. Who should I put on there? And I responded, I was like, me. And she was shocked. She was like, oh, wow. And I was like, yeah, me. Because we give these people promotion. I say, you're up talking about Mary J. Blige and Alicia Keys and Beyonce. They have million-dollar teams. Mary J. Blige is promoting a Cadillac. She has her own label. So she has the label that she's on plus the label that she owns. She has two marketing teams. So she has all of these marketing teams. And then she has all of her fans marketing her. And we don't understand the importance of word of mouth. And we need to utilize that. I say, if my album was Gossip, it would be halfway around the world and I'd sell a million copies.
The story would have changed how many times. But, yeah. Yeah.
I agree.
I totally feel you on that. Yeah.
And so that's the mainstream. That's the mainstream purpose. But I want to stay indie because I don't want to lose control. I've never been one to push sex. I've never been the girl in the booty skirt. Even when I was younger, I never thought that was appealing. So I don't need somebody. And when she was talking about somebody who can't sing, it's a singer out there named Ashanti. And she came out with Fat Joe and Ja Rule and all of them.
She talked about
all these dance lessons, and she finally decided to dance in her video. Well, she can't sing, and she dances even worse. But she's a Grammy Award winner. So I'm just like, you know, and you have to have such a pretty face, because that is what we market. We market the shallowness of the person's talent. They're like, no, you can't sing or dance, so we got to let people know you at least look good, and you're a sex symbol. I want you to enjoy my music. Because that is what you'll be talking about longer than how pretty my face is. And that's the only mainstream concept I want is the financial. If I can achieve mainstream success as an indie artist, I don't care about the label. That's all I want. So that's what I'm looking at.
Exactly.
One of the things that I talk about all the time, and it's not that I'm against mainstream artists, because I'll be honest, there's some mainstream artists that I love out there. You know, I mean, you know, that was where my passion, you know, came from. You know, the artist that was played, you know, on the radio when I was coming up to, you know, some of the modern day artists. Mm-hmm. Yet I will have to admit I rarely listen to mainstream radio, and so, you know, and because of who I am and what I do, I listen to indie artists. But it's really interesting to me, and you'll see me post this all the time, how people will bust their ass to get out there and spend money to support a mainstream artist and continue to make them rich when they cannot support and buy a local artist or a self-published author's book or a CD or it's just like, okay, let me give an example. You know, I hosted a showcase for my birthday, which was originally supposed to be a fundraiser for what I'm trying to establish as a grant foundation for indie artists. Because one of the things that I recognize in the years that I have been involved with underground indie artists is the finances. A lot of times things don't happen because of the lack of finances. So I thought, okay, if I could get people to really, really believe in themselves and each other, if I was to be able to get at least everybody on my in my network to give a dollar, do you know how far that could go to help an indie artist?
Very
so, you know, I was pushing that. I was pushing to get at least a dollar from everybody. And then when I put on the showcase here in Seattle for my birthday, you know, the whole idea was to have local artists come out and perform. You know, of course, they didn't have to pay to get in. I made it an all-family event, and so anybody that was 13 and under didn't have to pay. But anybody above that,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's where I was hoping to make the money to go towards my grant foundation. Do you know that people just bull-guarded their way into the event and didn't pay? They're like, I'm so-and-so. I didn't have a VIP list. You know, and so I'll be honest, I walked away from my birthday fundraiser event making $120.
Oh, my God.
You know, and luckily, you know, luckily the venue, you know, allowed me to use it at no cost because of what it was for. You know,
yeah.
But I thought, come on now, why does everybody want to get in free? There, do you know that at my... Do you know at my birthday celebration, there were 18 acts that performed?
Wow.
18. You know? And I made $120 that night. You know, so it's like, that's the other problem is not only do they want Sundrine's book free, you know, or Toxic CD free, or Lady Adam's CD free,
mm-hmm.
they want to get into the events free.
Yes, that's true.
You know, so like at what point is somebody getting paid? You're putting
exactly.
all this time and energy. You're creating an art. You're creating entertainment for us. You're creating emotions for us.
Mm-hmm.
And we pay all these mainstream artists, you know, money to download their CD or buy their CD or you know, $50, $75 to $100 to go to their concerts, you know.
And that's not including getting ready for their concert. That's just the
right,
ticket.
Exactly.
Down
you
got to
get your nails. You got to get your nails done and your hair
you
done
the
and
hair
buy that
done, the limo,
package,
all of yeah.
You know,
it's
you know,
an investment
and all
that's
of
ridiculous.
That, you know, or mainstream, you know, writer's book, you're willing to pay, you know, $30 for the hard copy, but you can't pay $10 for a self-published author's, you know, book. So, you know, I'm just so not understanding this mindset of why you say that you love, you know, the talents of, you know, these underground independent artists, these newbies. But do people not understand the fans and potential consumers understand that somebody once upon a time got behind, you know, Maxwell when he was new.
Exactly.
You know,
they don't understand when they were main. I say, we don't remember Mary J. Blige when she sung in those little clubs and we didn't pay
exactly.
attention, any attention to her. Now we're going crazy over her. And at one time, we condemned Mary J. Blige because of her actions.
Oh, yeah.
And now
mm-hmm.
we're like, oh, my
mm-hmm.
God.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
better than sliced bread. So it's just so funny how we contradict ourselves when it comes to music and they don't understand, they don't listen to, you know, Alicia Keys, her first song was Not Falling. It was a Christmas song, Little Drummer Boy, on Jermaine Dupri's album. How many
okay.
of us know that she was already an artist before she got with Clive Davis, a struggling
right.
artist. And that's what we don't invest in getting to know the artists that are big to find out their story. A lot of people don't understand, and I was telling somebody, Charlie Wilson of the Gap Band lost his brother, and every time he talks about the band, he always talks about their start. We don't know that the Gap Band's name is the three streets that they used to perform on before they became famous. That's what GAP is. It's the three streets that are parallel. All of them lived on these three streets.
Oh, okay.
So that's what the Gap Band is. It's the three streets that they used
mm-hmm.
to perform on when they were noticed. We don't listen. We don't pay attention to where they came from. We think they jump out there in fancy outfits and sell 40,000 tickets and sold out arenas, and that's how it is. So one thing
right.
that I do and I try and teach people, when you want to learn about an indie artist, learn about your mainstream artist because you will find out that they were indie artists as well.
Exactly. Exactly. Once upon a time, nobody knew them.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I just want to say something to you guys. It's not only art, it's in general. I am a professional translator, an editor, and a proofreader. And being a freelance is the same thing. You wouldn't even imagine the demands I receive on an everyday basis from people asking me to work for a rate that is even worse than in third world countries. People asking me to work on weekends, Saturdays, Sundays, on holidays for a rate that you wouldn't even believe could exist. It's not independent artists per se. It's the fact that we live in societies where we want to be politically correct and excuse ourselves for so many things. So we stoop so low to accept things because we think we're not worth that much, that people are used to that. So why? Because some people excuse themselves by saying, oh, yeah, you know what, I will sell you my book for $10 instead of $25, or because you're willing to buy my book. And that's the problem with a lot of us, because we do not put value in what we do. Because someone promises us that they will buy a book and after a month they have not bought a book, we come back to them and almost beg them. So that's the main problem right there. It's not by saying, oh, you know, no one is listening to us or someone is listening to me. The problem is much deeper than we may think. It's because a majority of independent artists, by not doing their homework, by not listening to advice, by not doing their research, by not self-educating themselves, stoop so low that the readers and the potential listeners, the audiences, think that they are justified in demanding things of us that they would not ask of themselves. And in part, we brought it to ourselves. And it's the same for translations. It's the same for photography. It's the same for everything. If you stoop too low because you do not see the big picture, because you just see the right here, right now, if you do not make the effort to say no, people will step on you and will take advantage of you and then will think that they're justified to ask for more of others. And others will say yes because they think because they do not value themselves. So the problems comes from the fact that we do not value our work enough and we are always begging, begging, begging. And that's why people think they are justified in asking us to give away our stuff. And not enough artists say no. If enough artists came together as one and as a community and said, no is no, I will not give away my product to you because it has value. If you can pay for Mary J. Blige, then you can pay for my music because I am worth it. Just pay attention. Instead of saying to me that you love it, if you really love it, it means you have really paid attention to my work, then it means that it's worth it. You do not love a work if you are not willing to pay for it. That's what I think. So we have to stop we have to stop begging, first of all, and we have to stop accepting things that we would not accept of others. We accept to lower our prices because we don't see the big pictures, so that's our fault. It's up to us to change our mindset. And when I say to us, I'm not targeting you in particular. I'm talking about all the independent artists out there. And if you go to Facebook and you are on Facebook because I just added you as friends, you will see, observe the way your friends work, observe the way your fellow independent artists work, and you will see what I'm talking about. It's all about begging, pity parties, and drama. And there's no real good marketing package. There's no real good branding. And the only people who brand themselves well, there are not many of them, but you will notice them right away because they are working very differently. So.
Yeah.
Well, I do think that, you know, there's just so much that we could talk about when it comes to this. And you know, I would take it back to the fact, you know, that, you know, branding is something that is very, very important. You know, the image that you create as an artist that the public sees. You know, I'll be honest, there was some really, really ugly drama going on Facebook yesterday. Really, really ugly. And
you know, and these are some very, very talented people.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, one of them I actually deleted. I wasn't even part of the drama. I wouldn't, you know. But, you know, just watching it was so disappointing to me. And then the other person, I'll be honest, I hid their postings because it's just really sad, you know. And I contacted that person directly, you know, sidebar, and said, you know, this isn't a good look. You know, this is so not a good look, you know, what you're doing. Because when you're online, you know, people are watching.
Mm-hmm.
And you never, never know. You never know because who's watching you? And at my birthday party, you know, one of the people that's in my corner and watching me, she shared my newsletter with somebody else. And somebody who works on a very, very larger scale, you know, in promotions of artists and actually mainstream artists. And this person contacted me and said, oh, I really, you know, appreciate and like what I see that you're doing. And so then that particular person also showed up to my birthday party. And she also sent me a message saying I was really, really impressed with the artist that came out to perform for you for your birthday. You know, and, you know, so behind the scenes, this particular lady is meeting with my mentor to see what direction they could help me go in with what I'm doing. Then another group, because I'm really big on working with at-risk youth. And so another person found me that I didn't even know who they were. They found me online and asked me to get involved with working with their youth organization in bringing, you know, local artists to, you know, give presentations and to at-risk youth to try to reach them. As to, you know, completing their education and this and that. So you just, I put that out there. You just never, never know, you know, who's watching you. And I think that the quality of people that you have in your circle, you know, plays a big role in how you stand out too. You know, because not only are they paying attention to you, they're paying attention to who's paying attention to you. You know, so so that's another, you know, another thing to think about is how you're representing yourself online. One of the things that several people have told me is like, you know, Flava, you know, wherever we look at you online, you're consistent. You know, and that made me feel good that they noticed that because that's something that I want. You know, whether you meet me in person, whether you meet me on my radio show, on the phone, online, you know, whatever. I want to be consistent, you know. I want to be the same person. I'm not perfect by no means. I don't know half the stuff that Sandrine, you know, knows and all of that. But I'm really kind of blessed that I have people across the world that are willing to share with me and educate me, and I absorb it, you know. So I guess one of the things maybe I'd like to talk about is, like, how have you guys gone about, like, building a street team for yourselves? Because I think that a street team, like you talk about word of mouth being powerful, Lady Adams, it is. It's very powerful. And if you've got people that believe in you and believe in your product, it can't be people who like you as a person. It has to be somebody who believes in what you're doing. Because if they don't believe in what you're doing and they're your mama or your auntie or your neighbor or whatever, they can't effectively help promote you. So having that team that says, I believe in you and what you're doing, you know, and I'm going to spread the word. So, you know, because I hear it all the time, you know, we like what you're doing, Lady Flava. Okay, cool. You know, can you, like, tell somebody? You know, because one of the things that you'll see Sandrine and I talk about with April Sims out in Washington, D.C., our websites, the clicks to our websites is a big deal.
Yes.
Because we're trying to gain investors, sponsors, and advertisers. And the more clicks we get to our sites, the more opportunities will open for those particular people to pay attention to us. And you may not understand, like, you know, the return visitors, the unique visitors, and all of that. But they're saying that you need at least, you know, 1,200 unique visitors to your site per month to even for somebody to start paying attention to you.
Small number. I'm sorry. This is so small. 1,200 a month is not even like you would need like at least to push like 10,000 to be taken really seriously by advertisers. So
well, just depending on you know who it is that you're targeting. You know, in some of the research that I'm doing, that's where it said that you know, like you've got to shoot for, you know, to hit those type of numbers to even begin to go after the investors and stuff. So from time to time, you know, you'll now that Sondrine is going to request you guys as friends, you'll see her, you know, post something about, you know, clicking on websites and stuff. That's how, for somebody like me, Lady Flava, you can show support to me.
Yeah.
The more numbers that comes to the radio show, you know, helps, you know, show support in what I'm doing, in how I'm going about trying to get people to get involved financially in what I'm doing to help you guys. Because what I'm doing, right now, I'm not getting paid for what I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I'm having the capability of having music played, you know, on my radio shows to my Be More Pacific show, that are having, you know, ears hear you outside of your you know normal zone. There's a big time name out of the Pacific Northwest that does the same thing that I do, but with college radio stations. Do you know he gets paid $2,500 just for you know in one pop by an artist to get you know
mm-hmm.
to get their music played.
Wow.
I get paid nothing.
Yeah, but
you know,
you're dedicated
so,
and you're passionate. That's why we love you, because you're so passionate about what you do. You know what? You know what? It, as sad as it sounds, you know, you're not you're so passionate and dedicated that it's really a pleasure to have you in our lives, because if you were paid, you probably wouldn't be the same person. I know it sounds bad to say that. I really hope one day you will make money out of what you do, but it hasn't changed you. That's what I'm saying. You're the same person as you were saying. You are consistent with what you do, and that's what I love the most about you. Because when you say something, I know you're not someone to say whatever to please people. So
yeah,
I
appreciate you saying that, because you know I do get frustrated, and the thing is, I'll let people know I'm frustrated. You know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And sometimes I say, oh, my God, why am I even doing this? You know, but then I turn around and God says, you know, open your eyes, Susan, and, you know, put your Lady Flava hat on again. You know, so it's something I do. I live this, you guys. I live it. I breathe it. I eat it. Sleep it. This is something that's just, I feel like, I don't know if you ever think about your life's journey, you know, but I think that I've come full circle at the age of 50, that this is where I'm supposed to be. This is how I'm supposed to help support and minister to others, you know. And I love it. I love it through the frustrations, through you know the anxieties that I have, through you know all the ups and downs. I love what it is that I do to help you know support indie artists and you know be that. I call myself an artist cheerleader. I don't claim anything but that, you know, even though I have many hats and I can do many things. You know, the thing with me is, you know, if I love what you're doing and I believe in who you are and what you're doing, I'll wave my pom-poms for you, you know? And so, you know, the unfortunate thing when it comes to, like, toxic, you know, I need some radio-friendly tracks. You know, to play on my show, you know. So, you know, you need, Darla, you need to create some radio-friendly tracks for me.
Yeah, you know, all of my music is pretty much radio-friendly. I try to limit myself with profanity. I really don't even use profanity in my music. If you go to the music page, you can download the single Sexy Girl for free on memphisrap.com. And I also wanted to say, to let you know that on October the 2nd, the Seattle's Best Remix Models and Music Competition, sponsored by Verizon, at the Highline Performing Arts Center in Berrien, is taking place on the 2nd at 5 p.m. And
okay.
They're judging it like American Idol style, like by via text message. So
okay.
If you're available, Ms. Flav, I would like for you to come out and help me be triumphant in this competition.
You know what? Toxic, email me that information to LadyFlava at flavanews.com so that I remember, because, you know, I'm old and menopausal and I forget, you know, so, you know, I'll just keep it honest with you. So, yeah, if I am available, I would be more than willing to come out there and, you know, show you support and, you know, just see what this is about. Now that you put that out there, I'll put this out there. I'm going to be involved in a hip-hop showcase here in Seattle that's called Dope Emporium on November 13th at Washington Hall. It is a hip-hop festival. And so we'll be, as the information's available, Toxic, I'll make sure that you get that so you can come out and be involved in that. There's going to be two stages, and it's going to be an all-day affair. It's going to be absolutely amazing. This is the third or the fourth year that this has taken place, so I will make sure you get that information. But, you know, I do think that a street team, you know, is one of the most powerful tools. It's, I would imagine for you, Lady Adam, and you, Toxic and Sandrine, it's hard to just be an artist putting it out yourself, right?
Yes, it
Doesn't
is.
It feel good when somebody else is helping you do it? Because it just kind of tells you that somebody else believes in what you're doing and will do the legwork.
Most definitely. Like I agree with that a whole lot. And I think like that's like a struggle a little bit for me, a little, you know what I'm saying, is to find people who are first going to humble themselves, you know what I'm saying, and help you reach the goal that you're trying to reach. You know, a lot of people, you know, everybody wants to make it. Everyone wants to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't want to pay dues. They don't want to put in the grind. They rather try to get you to help them and never mind you. Let me try to get on first. And then, you know, a lot of times what happens is that when people like that do things and when they do make it, they pretty much forget everyone who were scratching their back and, you know, buying them a meal and pushing their city for them. And but that's one thing that I'm currently working on. I'm going to see this guy up in Everett in a minute here. His name is Scott Elvin. And I've been talking to him pretty much all day, and he's been telling me some good things about marketing and about promoting me as an artist. And I'm going to talk with him here in maybe like an hour because of he's one of the probably the only guy who I've met up here so far who has had such an interest in trying to promote and market an artist. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people want money up front, and you know that's understandable because people do want to get paid for their work and stuff like that. But but like, where do you say, or when do you say, you know what? I'm not going to ask you for any money. I'm just going to help you get to where you need to be as an artist musically, and then after that, man, we can talk about compensation. But a lot of people, they're too focused on themselves instead of trying to focus on the individual who's trying to.
Sorry, guys, my dogs are a little crazy. They are barking. They saw a rabbit outside. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
A rabbit in Canada, huh?
Yeah, well, there are many. But since I'm talking, you know, Toxic, I promote independent artists nationally through my page on examiner.com. And if you're interested, we can definitely set up an interview with you. And I can actually review. I offer to review CDs as well. So if you're interested, we can talk about it. And,
yes,
and I don't
yes.
just talk, I actually do it. You can ask John D. Green that I recently interviewed. So I've interviewed a lot of independent artists so far. So if you're interested, you can contact me, and I will share the link, and I'll show you exactly what I do. So,
cool. I just sent you a friend request on Facebook. So I'm very interested.
Yeah, and I sent Sundrine Lady Adams' page too. You know, so that you guys, you know, can connect since you know, you're on the line, you know, with each other, and you know.
Yeah, I am actually just wrote her.
Okay, so Sundrine is honestly an absolutely amazing artist and supporter and writer. You know, but the thing is that I appreciate about Sundrine is first of all, you know, she doesn't get mad at me because I can't say her name right. You know, she is this absolutely beautiful French poet. You know, you've got to hear her do poetry in French. But, you know, but she, you know, again, she educates herself. She researches. She watches. You know, I use the term talk out the side of your neck. She doesn't do that. You know, when she speaks, she's speaking because she's done the homework. And she is very supportive, you know. So when she says that she has the capability, she does write for the Examiner up in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And the beauty of this show is that, you know, we go international. You know, on my very first show, we had an artist call in from Switzerland, you know, and, you know, the listenership of the archives of the Artist Roundtable has been absolutely amazing. And then the feedback and emails that I'm getting, so, you know, just because there's only, you know, the four of us on the phone tonight, there's quite a few that are actually listening live. There's a few that are in the chat room listening and stuff. And you never know who might be paying attention, you know, on the radio line. And so, like, John D. Green out of Detroit, Michigan, was on one of the shows with Sandrine. And she did a two-part interview with him, you know, for the Examiner. So she's an amazing resource to tap into, and just an amazing person as an artist as well. I mean, you can tell she's very opinionated, which is okay.
Well, I'm French, right? So French people
is
have opinions. Yeah, they say it. Well, I try to be really honest. I don't like to beat about the bush because I think too many people beat about the bush. That's why after 5 years as an artist, you know, I don't like to see people, you know, wait passively for things to happen to them. If I hadn't worked my butt off, you know, I wouldn't be where I am now. Of course, I've met people like you on the way who've helped me, promoted me a little bit. So, but I worked my butt off to be where I am today. And when I see people who come to me asking me, who have been writing and doing poetry, spoken word, or whatever, music for before I was born, and who come to me with basic questions about marketing, you know what, it ticks me, because I'm like, if you don't do the work, you will never get the success you want to achieve. So that's why I'm kind of opinionated and really honest and sometimes blunt. I'm not ashamed of saying it. I'm blunt. But that's the way it is. I don't like people who wait passively for things to happen, then complain about not being able to achieve and follow their dreams. So that's why I'm I have strong opinions. Yes, yes, I do.
I think that. No, I don't think there's anything wrong with it either. I agree with Toxic because, you know, one thing that I'm learning, and Verbal Skills had told me this. He said, Susan, when you turn 50, you're just going to speak your mind and be so opinionated. And I think that he's right. And, you know, at this point, I don't necessarily care if I hurt people's feelings or it's not that I'm not a caring person, but I think there comes a point when you shouldn't sugarcoat things.
Yeah,
and I think that you should just be able to be direct and honest and say what you think and feel. There are certain things that really, really matter to me as a person who loves, you know, art. And, you know, I'll tell people all the time, my least favorite genre is hip-hop and erotica.
Mm-hmm.
So if I like you, you know, in those two arenas, oh my God, it's a big deal to me, you know, because I'm just so not into the booty shaking, you know, hip hop stuff. I'm not into, you know, the cuss words left and right or the N word left and right. You know, I love you know, the hip hop that really, really tells a story and has a message. That
mm-hmm.
is just where mm-hmm. my passion is, where the music flows, the beats flow with the lyrics and this and that. You know, I absolutely love soul music, you know, mm-hmm. And that speaks to me, you know, and I guess that comes from, you know, how I was raised, you know, on Motown and you know, Marvin Gaye and, you know, this and that, you know. So soul music, R&B music, it speaks to me, definitely. So when it comes to hip-hop, man, if I love you, boy, I'll, you know, yeah, I'll put you out there because that's something new to me. It's a new genre. You know, 50-year-old, I used to tease Giorgio Brown, when I turn 50, I want to become a hip-hop artist. You know, I want to be out cool out 19 or cool out 20 or something. But I'm kind of excited about, you know, being new to hip-hop and learning about this genre and the talents. And, you know, we got some outstanding artists, and we got some
mm-hmm.
artists that absolutely suck.
So...
Yeah. So, okay, since I put that out there, I think we got another caller. Let me just see if this caller wants to chime in on the conversation.
Okay.
Okay. If I could click on him. Caller from the 206-484, you're on the air with Lady Adams out of Connecticut, Chandrine out of Canada, and Toxic out of Seattle, Washington. Would you like to join us in conversation?
I would. Hey, Lady Flavor, this is Jacob Croft, JC Flow.
Oh, JC.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Hello.
What's up, everybody?
I'm good.
Good.
I'm excited that you would call into my show. So why don't you introduce yourself?
My name is Jacob Croft. I'm a local Seattle hip-hop artist, producer, songwriter. I just released a new album in July. So I've been working extremely hard at that, not only the recording process and getting everything done, but also now as a standalone independent guy, you know, promoting myself, marketing myself, which is extremely challenging for just be purely independent and do this on your own, even though I have a lot of support, people that do love my music. I'm just excited to join the conversation, really. I'm a big fan of Lady Flavors, and I have so much respect for her, what she's doing as far as just spreading the correct message, and also she's just so extremely supportive for us local apps, and it's just a beautiful blessing to see people like that
Aww.
Really doing good things and
Aww.
Doing it the right way.
And,
so.
And I really didn't pay him to say that. I, you know,
no.
What a surprise, Jacob, for you to call.
No, I mean it. I mean it 100%. I really, really do. Thank you.
Okay, so let me tell you about Jacob. So he's been on my Facebook for quite a while, you know. And I put on my first hip-hop showcase. It may be my last hip-hop showcase because it was so extremely discouraging to me, except that my mentor said, okay, Susan, was it really a failure? Did this, that, and the other fall apart? And I'm like, no. Okay, well, then it wasn't a total failure. But I have to tell you, this was the night that I met JC Flow. And I was like, okay, you're on my Facebook. You know, but you look at him, you would never know that he's a hip-hop artist. And I don't know whether you still are, JC, but JC was number one in the hip-hop on Reverb Nation here in Seattle, Washington. So he is doing very, very well, and I will keep, you know, when it comes to hip-hop, I say that I'm new to it. I absolutely love JC Flow's music, absolutely love it. So the thing about his music is very, very crisp. The beats and the lyrics all flow together. There's relevance to his music, his whole package, you know, including his wife and new baby on the way. The whole package is just like perfect in my opinion, when it comes to an artist. And the way that he represents himself, I think that he's branded himself well. And, you know, the marketing that he puts behind his product is very, very well and professionally done. So Jacob, you know, came up to me, you know, my first hip-hop showcase launch 2.0, and I have to, you know, show much love and appreciation. He got on the stage when, you know, we were doing sound check. He freestyled with my artists that were up there performing. He showed support and stood right next to the stage. And I have to tell you, there was no more than 50 people in that whole space. you know, even if that. And, you know, but JC and Lady Scribe are right there, you know, showing love, you know, through the whole thing. And I have to tell you that meant so much to me. And it meant a lot to me that you and your wife showed up to my birthday, Jacob. You know, I know you weren't able to perform, but just for you to show up, you know, that meant a lot to me too.
Well, you know, it's extremely important for us to support each other. I mean, it's one of those things where I don't know if people actually push play. It's like they say they're supportive, but it's one of those things, I don't know if it's just a local thing, being from Seattle. I know there's other people on the line not from Seattle, so I don't want to make this a Seattle conversation. But just interesting to me that not a whole lot of local artists actually listen to each other. We're not on their iPods, you know, we're not on their Zooms. They might give a thumbs up here and there, but I don't know yet if they've actually taken the time to listen and really dissect it to know if they're even going to like it or not like it. If they don't like it, they don't like it. That's no big deal. You know, it's music. I don't know. So just having the fact that you are willing to listen and you are so supportive with people, that's the type of thing that I need to be there. I want to be there. I want to support supportive people that are doing something really positive and really making a movement around it rather than just approaching it like the majority of people approach it, which is just kind of lackluster and half-hearted.
So can I ask you something, Jacob? I don't just like, do I call you JC Flo, do I call you Jacob, huh? Kind of like me and Lady Flava and Susan, huh? But so, you know, one of the things that I notice in a lot of the showcases here in Seattle, the VIP list is pretty large with, you know, a number of people getting into the showcases for free.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like I was telling some artists, I deserve to get in free. And the reason I say that, I'm not trying to sound arrogant, but the reason I feel I deserve to get in free is most likely I'm helping support and spread the word about the event.
Uh-huh.
You know, so if I'm putting in the hard work, you know, to help try to bring more people out to the event, then I could see where I would deserve to get in free. But there are people that are getting in free to these events that I've never seen, you know, spread the word or whatever. Is the guest list, the free guest list, large for artists because they don't feel confident that they can get people to come out and pay the $5 or $10 to get into the showcase?
I think it's a combination of wanting a packed house versus the general unwillingness to pay for a music show these days, unless you're already this established artist. So at the end of the day, when you approach a show, and I came off in July, I did three CD release events where I funded the entire thing, and it was a combination of deciding at some point, this was my first approach at actually being my own promoter and being my own event planner. I had to make some decisions whether to try to even break even or maybe lose some money to have more of a packed house.
Right.
And it was really difficult. And I was approaching it with really not knowing what I didn't even know at that point. I know I'm really good at researching marketing strategies and online marketing and music theory and all that, but from being a pure event promoter for myself for the very first time coming off this new album release, it was more important for me to have a bunch of people there that would take the music home.
Okay.
And so that was the trade-off that I made. And looking back, I don't, you know, because I lost money. I mean, just being real,
right.
You know, I lost a couple grand on my CD releases. I funded myself. I mean, I've never worked with sponsors before, and so I didn't understand what that route was. And I guess I could have figured out what that meant to get sponsorship type of shows. But, you know, I was paying for my own flyers and renting the venue.
Right.
And coordinating with these other, you know, the management of these other Seattle clubs. And so at that point, it was more important for me to get people there. And so I made that sacrifice. And I, you know, right now I'm like, you know, well, a month afterwards, I was frustrated that I lost a bunch of money after I had really killed myself musically, not killed myself, but gave it everything I had for 9 months really doing it right for the first time in music, not recording it at home, going to, you know, mixing engineer with two Grammys,
right.
And just really doing it because I believed in my music, and yet I was very disappointed in the turnout. It was still good. I still had a lot of people there to support, but at the end of the day, it was another money-losing thing for music.
Right.
Disheartening. You know, yeah, I have a full-time job, and I have a family, and music's my number one passion in the world besides my family. But here I am again, losing money on the thing that I love the most, you know.
Right.
So that's what's hard.
Yeah,
I
feel like it's
right or wrong, I don't know.
Right. I know. I totally understand that because, I mean, I wish for my launch 2.0 that it was like at least a half-packed house. And looking back, there were several things that went wrong, even though it was well planned out and meetings in place and conference calls and project proposals and everything, you know, was put in place for that. But, yeah, I was the one that put the money into it, you know, so I lost the money on that particular event. And that's hard. You know, that's hard when... You know, you think that you've got all these people that say that they believe in you and support you, and, you know, all the people that RSVP'd and said they were going to come and they didn't show up. You know, so I don't know whether you, Toxic, or Lady Adam, if you have, you know, been in a position where you've done showcases and either not walked away from making any money or not having people come out and support?
Oh, yeah, that happened to me. I was doing this overnight celebrity competition down at Club Kobe. And, the host was Robert 21, and I didn't win the competition, but at the end of the competition, he was like, hey, man, I want to just applaud you for having the guts to come out here and not knowing a soul and doing your music. And, you know, I had plans on, like, I went in with a positive mind, and I came out with a positive mind. I just have to, you know, do, like, a little more networking to get my face more familiar with the Seattle community, music community. And as far as making money, I never go into a situation, a concert, especially like right now, expecting to get paid because I'm not as organized as I should be musically, you know what I'm saying? So what I do, I'm on Facebook like all day, and I'm talking to promoters and stuff, trying to see if I can come out and open up for an artist or, you know, anything like that, just for the exposure. That's like my main focus and goal mm-hmm. right now is exposure.
I totally can understand that. I mean, if you're
yeah.
newer to the scene and just being able to get the exposure. So what about you, Lady Adam?
Yeah, with me, I have, that is one, I've registered with a lot of booking agents, and first thing they say is, you know, you have to sell a certain amount of tickets. And I don't have mm-hmm. a problem because they're only $5 or $10 tickets. And I was like, I can get the money, but how they make their money is the attendance. And I said, you know, I have people who love me, but not like that they're going to back me because I live in Connecticut, but I have lived down south, and most of my fans and my friends are from down south. So it's very, you know, it's very discouraging to me, not to where I'm going to stop, but to know that right now I can't get in to and do certain things because I don't have that fan base that will come out and be like, all right. And it's only maybe five people. You have to sell, you know, five tickets, which is $10 a piece, $50. Mm-hmm. But it's like 10 to 12 acts on stage. So it's a pretty good sum. And I don't go into it making money. Right now, I work a full-time job, and I'm doing this. I'm funding everything, my album. I'm paying all my producers, you know. I don't have that financial backing, so I do work a full-time job just because of that. So everything is worked around my schedule, and I work for a baseball team, so
mm-hmm.
it's very hard for me to invest. And they say, well, you know, to make money, you have to spend money. I say, well, I can't spend money if I don't make money at my job. So I have to, you know, I have to work. And this has to, you know, it looks like it's my second priority, but it's not. It's just that I have a family and I can't make a sacrifice and say, all right, I know it's going to work. I do believe that. I believe it is going to happen. But this is the only ground rules I have. It has to be on my terms. And right now, it has to be at my convenience. And like he is, I'm always on Facebook. I have a Reverb page. I have my own .com page, you know, and I'm just constantly talking to people because I'm still learning what to do and make sure, like you said, that they don't, I don't get caught out there like Bob Marley and lose my rights. I'm learning about copyrights. I'm learning about, you know, when you're working with producers, what, how do you end up, what part of, do you own, you, what are you paying for when they set a price and they say, all right, you just have to pay me $200, what does that include? Will I always be able to use the track for one, you know, it's just so much questions that lead to more questions, so I constantly am learning. You were talking about a street team earlier, and that is one thing that, because everybody who is one of my fans is, I'm in a sorority, and they are my soror, so it's not people that believe in my music, but more believe in me. So I'm learning how to create a street team that says, you know what, I'm backing her because I love her music. Not I want to see her succeed because I love her. Because those people are just as genuine, but it's really when you start looking at it and you start explaining, well, who are these people? They'd be like, oh, these are my sorority sisters and my manager. And they'd be like, oh, the only reason they're doing it is just like you saying, oh, this is my brother and my cousin and my uncle and my and some people are listening. You'd be like, the only way you reason you're doing this is because they're family. So I'm trying to create that street team of people that I don't know. I met them on Facebook. I don't know. I met them on Reverb. I don't know. I met them, you know, in passing. And they say, wow, you got this many people following you and you don't even know them. Then it just speaks volumes.
Right.
I'm sorry. I have a question for you. I'm sorry. I'm cutting you short. Sorry. I have a question for all of you guys. Do you know your niche? Do you know, like, the kind of people who listen to your music? Do you know who they are, where they come from, their age, stuff like that, important information like that? Do you know it? Do you know this important information?
So this is Jacob, JC Flow.
Yes.
I do because of technology. So I know exactly, I know my fan base based on my Django plays. I know my breakdown based off my Reverb plays. I know my breakdown based on my MySpace plays. I know it off of my website because I plug that all in. So I know my target market based off of technology, but I don't necessarily truly know my target market based off of pure face-to-face interaction with people.
Well, without the face-to-face interaction, like the niche should be able to tell you exactly who you should target. That's what I'm trying to aim at. But
I don't know if, like, you know, if you do have websites or whatever, if you're aware of, like, Google Analytics or whatever, that can help you define, you know, who it is that's coming to look at your place and where they're located and this and that. You know, I think there are different online tools that you can add to your websites that help you understand the demographics that are coming and where, you know, what pages they're looking at, what's catching their attention and stuff. It gives you a better idea. And I do, you know, one of the things, you know, that I you know, talk to artists about is knowing who your target audience is.
Yes.
You know, when you create this art, are you creating it for yourself or do you know who your fans and potential consumers are going to be? Because that's something that's really important, you know. It's like, you know, I'm an older Japanese-German woman, right? So am I really going to want to listen to a whole bunch of cussing and music? I'll be honest, no.
No.
You know, and stuff. Or I don't want to hear about, you know, looking in somebody's, you know, between somebody's leg and getting down on your knees, you know. So I'm not going to be your target audience if that's what, you know, what music you're creating or whatever. But, I think that you need to know, is it a younger group that's going to buy your stuff?
Yes.
Is it an older group?
Yes.
You know, what type of economic group even, you know, is paying attention. When I had my coffee shop, I owned it for 5 years, and that's how I actually became Lady Flava, through Flava Coffee House. And, you know, when we were talking about, you know, Sandrine was talking about being a French interpreter, It's really interesting when you create something that you think is absolutely amazing. So much thought, you know, went into building Flavor Coffee House, hiring the right architect to the builders and everything. You know, I refinanced my house to build this business. It was perfect. It was so perfect for the North Seattle community that was very, very diverse and did not have a business that represented it. But I was, strangely enough, after I opened up my coffee shop, two Starbucks went in, one on the east, the north side of me, and one on the south side of me. And I struggled. I ended up losing my house that I owned for 17 years. When my five-year lease was up, you know, I decided to walk away from my business. And you know, but there are people that said they loved what it was that I had created. They loved my open mics. You know, I supported local artists. I supported, you know, self-published authors. You know, I had my own little store in there that sold art. You know, plus I had my open mics. My open mics would be packed, but do you know, like, the people would pack the space, I would be probably over, you know, my limit of numbers of bodies that could be in there capacity-wise. but I'd walk away not making any more money having a packed house, you know, because they didn't come to patronize my business. They came to either participate or watch the show. You know, so word of mouth and knowing, you know, who your target is. You know, if I was smarter as a business owner, I would have sat across the street from the location and watched that. I was one of five businesses in a brand new apartment complex that had 234 units. You'd think, oh my God, I'm right there in an apartment complex. The residents themselves would patronize me. Well, it turned out that I was right at the entry gate, but everybody parked below street level in the garage and exit out the back. So they rarely came out that gate. But if I was smart, I would have sat and I would have watched, you know, what kind of traffic that area got, you know. And I wasn't smart. I was a first-time business owner, you know, and I wasn't smart. You know, I was just, you know, a domestic violence advocate. I loved helping people, you know, so somebody talked me into building a business, and I built a coffee shop, and, man, I just did not educate myself. So I say all of that, like, it is important to know, you know, what type of people you can sell your art to, you know, and, you know, and kind of come up with your marketing plan, you know, around that.
Exactly.
As far as, you know, making money from it. Because I imagine all four of you that are on the line right now, you know, we're representing Canada to Seattle to Connecticut, which is absolutely amazing. I would imagine all four of you are wanting to make music from your art.
Yeah.
Well, I'm more into something else, but sorry. Hello?
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. Go ahead.
Yeah.
They're shy.
like me, you know what I'm saying? When I collab with other artists, you know what I'm saying? I try to let them know that before we record a track, man, I just want to let you know that, like, you can't do any kind of profanity, you know what I'm saying? Because I would rather for an artist to really, man, use their artistic side when writing, because, you know, when you use a lot of profanity, your song is polluted, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of people are not really going to tune in to what you're saying because you already tuned them out by the profanity and stuff. So I try to encourage, like, any artist who I work with or who I come across to take away the profanity because, you know, I started out doing secular rap. And then from like 2004 to 2007, I did gospel rap. I toured across the Mid-South with Mr. Dill and with Cannon Jones and a host of other artists. And I kind of broke away from doing the gospel. So now, but from me doing gospel, I learned how to write without using profanity. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I think that's what makes me a good artist, and the fact that I'm able to collaborate with, like, you know, neo soul, rock, pop, disco, dubstep. I mean, any kind of genre of music that an artist does, I can adapt musically, lyrically to their style. You know, because a lot of artists, when you just do rap, you know what I'm saying, you're pretty much limiting yourself. And I talk to a lot of artists, and I always bring up taking your music to an international level. And a lot of them say, oh, man, I ain't take my music overseas, man, and this and the other, because they don't think outside the box. There is a world out there of listeners who are waiting to hear something new, something great, and something fresh. And when you think inside the box, I mean, you really can't reach people like internationally, you know what I'm saying? And so like that's why, like, I'm kind of glad, like, as far as like my target audience, you know what I'm saying, I wouldn't say it's just like the average black crowd, you know what I'm saying, because a lot of white people, a lot of Asian people, a lot of Spanish people do like my music, you know what I'm saying, because of the sound. And I've been working with my two producers, Beatman Productions and Sunnyville. I've been working with them since I've been doing gospel rap, and they have a sound that is very distinct and very unique as well. So I think a lot of artists should really, like, think outside the box and not limit themselves to just being national. They should think on an international level, because that would make you a better artist and you would stand out more. And a lot of people, like, a lot of athletes go overseas and become very successful, basketball artists, I mean, basketball and football players and stuff like that. So I think people should, like, really think outside the box and expand their horizon and try to limit themselves with the profanity that they use in their music, because they can really bring in a big crowd and become very successful in what they do if they apply that to their craft.
Mm-hmm. And I totally hear what you're saying, Toxic, in regards to the language, because, you know, that is something that, you know, I do struggle with. And, you know, and when it comes to, you know, getting airtime on the radio, I mean, even if it's a mainstream radio that you're trying to get to, but even with the college stations and with the online radio stations, I mean, more so you may be able to slip in, you know, on an online radio station where, you know, somebody like me has a little bit more control. But, you know, to be able to get the air play, you know, you've got to have radio-friendly tracks. So that's, mm-hmm. you know, so that's one of the things that I would, you know, I'm interested in. And I talk to a lot of artists right now, like, why aren't they created at the time when you're recording, so that you don't have to go back in and work with the producer to edit it? And maybe you could speak on that, JC.
I think, well, so, you know, I have
four. Am I putting you on the spot?
No. I have 16 tracks on my album. Five of them have swear words on them, but they're all in context. So if I say the F word, I'm saying it because I'm talking about my life. And I'm upset about something, so thus I'm going to say, because I say the S word in my normal life, so I'm going to say it on my track. There's nothing derogatory about any of my music, because there's nothing derogatory about me. And so when I go into write songs, I get that. I feel like if I have to swear, then if I have to swear as a crutch, because everything rhymes with mother effer, as a rapper, and I can flip mother effer around and I can rhyme with just about everything. It becomes a filler word for a lot of other, there's an expanding world of hip-hop that's swear, but it becomes a crutch for a lot of people it's a filler word, so they can always rhyme with the same word, so that's, they say motherfucker, they say the N-word, they always put it, they use it as a crutch. So for me, it was never meant as a crutch. It was, yeah, sometimes I want to express some anger on a track, so I might swear. But yeah, if I believe that track has any potential at all, at the exact same time we're about to mix it down, I'm going to mix down three versions. You know, I'm going to do my radio-friendly version, I'm going to do my standard version, and I'm going to do my instrumental, and I'm going to do four, and my vocal only. So I'm always ready. and it's just an extra 5 minutes, an extra 10 minutes in the studio, because I, you know, my goal of this project was, this was it. This was, you know, I've been recording since I was 14 years old, always in my home, and finally I stepped up to make an album in, you know, the same recording studios that Pearl Jam recorded at, in the same recording studio that Dave Matthews recorded that at of Seattle, and, you know, so that's it. The whole goal was to make this commercial product that had a well balance of soulful hip hop as well as very commercial hip hop as well as more driving energetic hip hop. And if I didn't believe in the track enough to mix down 3-4 versions, then I had no right being on the album. That was my whole frame of mind going into the project. Thus, that's what I did. I have the clean versions of everything ready to go. And because of that, it makes me very responsive. So my music is getting played in Germany, and my music is getting played in Australia, and my music is getting played in the Philippines, and my music is getting played in the UK because the music's great. I don't think it's the greatest in the world, but it's great enough, and when they reach out and they hear my album, they go, oh, can I get the clean versions? And there's a moment of opportunity where you either miss it or you get it. And the fact that I'm already ready to be able to respond with an email, yes, I have it. Here's a clean. Now they'll play it. Because they not only realize that, wow, this person is at the end of his internet connection is obviously believes in his music and passion and is that response time. Without that response time, people's interest in music, because there's so much in the world, it's so oversaturated in a good and a bad way that you have to be ready or else you will miss your window of opportunity. If I would have responded 5 weeks later, no, they would have been like, huh? No, I moved on from that. They might have lost interest in that. But if you could immediately keep their interest, then they're going to play it. If you can immediately show them that respect, that thank you for even giving me this opportunity, and yes, I'll give you what you asked for within 6 hours, you know, then voila, they're playing it and telling me how much it meant that I responded so quickly. Because a lot of people aren't. They're not ready. They're not ready to have that business model in place and that network in place to make it happen. You know, coming back to the whole collaboration thing, it's like, I get asked to collaborate all the time, but no one ever falls through.
Well, one thing I will have to say about you, Jacob, is that one of the things that I think is missing for a lot of creative souls is the business side. I think they're so into creating that they don't understand that they're a marketable product. You know, and that you have to have some form of business sense, or you need to have somebody in your world that does, you know, to make the whole package work. But I think that for you, in my opinion, in watching you and getting to know you, you have the business sense. And I don't know if that's something that you've always had or is this something that you've learned?
Well, I have 2 degrees. I have a business degree and also a computer science degree from college. So,
okay.
And I've run my own architectural consulting firm for 6 years. So yeah, I have the business side. I'm relatively new, meaning the last year, into truly studying music business. I've been in music my whole life, but I'm only a year, so I consider myself brand new in the world as a music business world. But I definitely have a business background. So yeah, I'm on ASCAP and I have my own. You know, I immediately get registered as JC4 Productions as its own LLC, and I did all that because I've done all that before.
Okay.
So it helps. It helps big time.
And I do think that it does help. But I would say to any artists out there listening, you know, or on the air right now, that you know, if you don't have that business sense, recognize the fact that you don't, and take some time to educate yourself. And if not, kind of explore who out there has that sense that you trust, you know, to bring into your world and to advise you on some things. Because when it comes to art and art that you want to make money from, you have to have a business understanding, you know, around that. The money, the contracts, the marketing and promotions. I mean, there's so much more to it than just getting on the stage or writing a book. You know, or painting a picture. There's so much more to that. And so, you know, I definitely would suggest you educate yourself or surround yourself. Watch who's out there, even if it's online. Watch who's out there that may have that knowledge, you know, that you can feed off of. You know, like I said, I started out as a coffee shop owner. I started out as a book reviewer for an African-American book review team 06, you know, years ago or whatever. That's kind of how I started in getting involved with artists. And I'm just really, really blessed that there are people from across the world, again, that have helped educate me. You know, I only have a high school education, you know, so, you know, but it didn't stop me from owning two businesses, well, three businesses now, and, you know, and being able to surround myself with people who have the college education that's willing to educate me, you know, on the side and stuff like that. So there's so many ways to do it, and, you know, and it's possible. You know, but you know that it's going to take some hard work and determination. Know it's going to be, you're going to have to expose yourself. You know, the reality is if people don't know you exist, you know, they're not going to come knocking on your door. So whether it be, you know, you being online, and not just on Facebook, you need to get on other social networks and different, you know, explore different places. And I would also, you know, encourage you to find people not only within your own hometown. I think hometown is really important. That's where mm-hmm. your foundation should start, is hometown. Yeah. But also start branching out and trying to explore who out there in the world would appreciate your art, you know, and mm-hmm. and you know, become a potential fan, become a potential street team member and consumer, you know. We've only got 9 minutes left in the show. Ma'am, I really, really appreciate the four of you coming out and participating in this conversation. I decided, you know, to do this every Monday now. Next Monday it's going to be at 12:30 Pacific Standard Time, kind of an earlier show, and then the following Monday it's going to be at 5:30 again, so we can reach different audiences. And, you know, I just kind of thought... Jacob, I don't know if you heard me say this, but I put this together because I was having so many sidebar conversations with artists. And I thought, you know what, we need to bring this to everybody. You know, everybody has an opinion of around mm-hmm. certain issues. And, you know, I think that it would be good to bring it to the airwaves so that, you know, anybody in the world can come and participate and share, you know, their thoughts and experiences as an indie artist or, you know, even a service provider to the indie artist, whether it be publishers or producers or beat makers or whatever it is, you know, to see how maybe we can, you know, share ideas and thoughts and even network and see how we can take this to a different level. Again, you know, tonight we've got Connecticut, Canada, and Seattle on the line, you know. So now, you know, you have a new little network just from being on this show tonight, you know. And I'll put it out there again with Sandrine up in Canada. She, you know, she writes, you know, for the Examiner up there, and she's really, really supports, you know, artists not only in Canada but, you know, worldly. So she's a good person to connect with. She's another person who is very, very resourceful, you know, and she's not stingy with the information she has. She's so willing to share. And so before the show ends, why don't everybody, you know, again, you know, give your names and where what your art form is and where people can find you online. So why don't we start with Sandrine?
Okay, well, first of all, my website is sandrinemarois.com, or you can find me at soulpoetrysite.com, soulpoetrysite, so the two domain names link to the same website. So basically, I am a freelance journalist. I'm a published author, a translator, amateur photographer. I do many other things, so you're more than welcome to connect with me on Facebook or anywhere. If you go to my website, you will be able to find everything about me there. It's a hub for everything about me. So for those who are interested in being promoted, I have an independent artist promotion page. It's a national page on examiner.com, and I offer interviews as well as reviews. And when I say interview, it's like a real interview. You get asked a lot of questions, and you can write as much as you want on the topic. So I usually write, publish the interviews in 2, 3, sometimes 4 parts, so that I let the artist, you know, say whatever they want, and I add videos, and I add pictures, and I add some music once in a while. And the last thing I want to say is that on Friday, this Friday, September 24th, I will be releasing officially my 5th collection of poetry, 5 Years and Counting, A Journey into the Mind of Soul Poetry. So for those who are on the line tonight, they are not in Winnipeg, Canada, so it's hard for them. It's hard for me to invite you guys, but for those who are listening, if you are in Winnipeg, Canada, I invite you to join me at McNally Robinson on Grant Avenue to meet me and hear me read extracts from my book, and I will sign copies of the book and so on and so forth. But for those who are interested in checking it out, it's on my website, it's everywhere, and the reviews have been really, really good so far, so I'm very excited to release this book. And my the new version of my CD, Reasons, will be released very soon too, so I'm busy.
Can you see your website one more time?
I'm sorry?
Will you say your website one more time?
My website is, well, it's easier for you to go to soulpoetrysite.com, S-O-U-L, poetry, S-I-T-E.com, soulpoetrysite.com.
Thank you.
Okay,
I'm done.
Now, Lady Adam.
I am an indie artist out of Bridgeport, Connecticut. I have a fan page, Lady Official, L-A-D-E, hyphen over the E, official fan page on Facebook that you can look me up. I'm also on Reverb Nation, www.reverb, R-E-V-E-R-B-N-A-T-I-O-N, / Lady, L-A-D-E-E. I also have the official.com page, and it's Lady Adams, L-A-D-E-A-D-A-M-S, sings, L-A-D-E-A-D-A-M-S-S-I-N-G-S.com. So those three. And I have my single, Two Step, is on Amazon, Rhapsody, iTunes, and eMusic.
All right. Thank you so much, Lady Adam. And Toxic?
Yeah, Toxic, indie artist. You can find me on www.memphisrap.com/TAWKSICC. And you can also reach me on Facebook. You can find me under Lady Flavors Friends on Facebook. And I can be also reached on MySpace music page, myspace.com/TAWKSICC, Toxic. I have a Reverb Nation page. You can find me on Reverb under the email realtoxic, RELTAWKSICC, at yahoo.com. And any artists out there that want to work with me, man, let's get it together. You know what I'm saying? I'm all game for it.
So, Toxic, why don't you also tell again about the event that you're going to be involved in?
Huh?
Will you tell again about the event that you're going to be involved in that you want me to come to?
Oh, yeah. October the 2nd, it's Seattle's Best Remix, Models and Music Competition, sponsored by Verizon Wireless. It's going to be at the Highline Performing Arts Center in Berrien, Washington. Showtime, well, doors open at 5 p.m. and the show starts at 6.
And what day was that?
That day would be on October the 2nd. That's on a Saturday.
Okay. And then before I forget, I just wanted to tell you that Jennifer took some absolutely amazing pictures of you. They're really, really nice.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So now, JC Flow, Jacob Croft.
Yes, Jacob Croft, independent hip-hop artist, songwriter, producer. You can basically, everything is /JC Flow, F-L-O-W. So it's Facebook / JC Flow. Reverb Nation 4/JCFlow. I also have my own .net site, so jcflow.net, as well as I just released an album July 17th of this year. So you can search for me on iTunes, Napster, Zoom, Amazon, just search for JC Flow. My new album is called Verb Noun Vibe. You also see my old album up there as well from 2002, but that's where you can find me.
Okay, and JC, I have to tell you that I'm getting some absolutely amazing feedback on Alter Ego with you and Lady Scribe.
Right on.
So, anyway, we have come to the end of another artist roundtable. I want to thank the four of you for coming out and hanging out with me on the phone line tonight. I want to thank everybody that hung out in the chat room and to those that were listening live and to especially those that come back and listen to the archives. You know, as I help try to spread the word for you and shine the light on indie artists, I ask that you do the same for me. Let's build some win-wins in 2010 and, you know, just keep this moving and keep it growing. So I say goodnight to everybody in cyberspace and to the four of you that are on the line with me tonight. Thank you so much for participating in the show.
No, thank you very much. Have a great night.
You're so welcome.
All right. Good night, you guys.
Good night. Bye.